Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, you're listening to Film Talks On Air. I'm your host, Jane Ross, and joining me today is my special guest, Mark Odeske. Kia ora, Mark.
Thank you, Jane. It's wonderful to be here.
Wonderful to be talking to you today. We have some very exciting news. I'm going to step back from making the big announcement first because I really want to introduce you to our listeners in the best way I can. Tell me how you entered into working in the film industry in Los Angeles.
Sure. It actually happened that I sort of fell into the movie business. I was at the University of Southern California in Los Angeles, and I was editor of the university newspaper and studying print journalism. And I wrote a short story for a class that through a series of circumstances that is probably more likely to happen in Los Angeles than maybe anywhere else, that short story ended up in the hands of a film producer who decided it would make a great Matthew Broderick movie. You got to remember, this was 1984, 85.
Wow.
So that made a lot of sense at the time. And through a series of circumstances, I ended up with that short story selling to one of the studios. I ended up with a job as a script analyst at a movie studio. And that's how it started.
That sounds like the most fabulous way to get started in the film industry. It was a mix of you being very talented and creative with your writing and being in the right place at the right time and meeting the right people, and all the stars aligned. It's a long way from Los Angeles to New Zealand. Tell us about how you came to be in this country.
Well, the story sort of starts sort of in the mid-80s as well. The job that I got out of university, I eventually got fired from. It's actually the only job I've been fired from so far. But I ended up at a wonderful company called Republic Pictures that bought the distribution rights to horror action genre sorts of movies for straight to video in the United States.
Okay.
And I was sent Bad Taste by the New Zealand Film Commission. This would have been probably 1986.
I know this film.
And I became obsessed and utterly gobsmacked with this movie. I tried desperately to convince my bosses to let me license it for U.S. distribution. They told me absolutely not. And as a result of that, I wrote a letter to Peter, probably courtesy of the Film Commission, because I remember in this 1986, it probably would have been an old-fashioned letter.
Love it.
Something to the effect of, I failed you today, but don't worry, someday I won't fail you. And I'm sure he thought I was some deranged stalker.
Wow. How long did it take before you then were in communication with Peter Jackson?
Once I ended up at New Line Cinema, which is in the late 80s, I began to talk him up to everybody I could think of. If there was a problem at New Line, a creative project that was stalled, I had the solution. It was Peter Jackson. I would just talk about it sort of incessantly. And eventually that resulted in Peter being hired to write a version of A Nightmare on Elm Street. At the time, New Line made Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
Okay.
And we were always hiring different writers to do different approaches. Maybe you're writing Freddy Goes to the Big City. Maybe someone else is writing Freddy Goes to Outer Space, not literally. And so Peter was hired to do an adaptation of that franchise. And it didn't get made, but it did seal him in the minds of my colleagues and bosses at New Line. So that by the time Lord of the Rings came around later on, he was a known quantity. And of course, by then he had done Heavenly Creatures and The Frighteners and a bunch of other movies.
You were the executive producer for the Lord of the Rings films. What was this like?
You know, it's sort of the easiest way to describe it is, and this is sort of my life philosophy for pretty much anything, is when someone gives you an opportunity that is huge and something that you're really excited about, you should say yes, because inevitably you don't have to do the whole job on the first day. So my passion for Lord of the Rings came from the fact that I had been obsessed with the books since I was 12 or 13 years old. I was a big Dungeons and Dragons fanatic as well. And I was a Peter Jackson fanatic at that time. So I was basically put in charge of supervising on the studio's behalf the movies, which really in the early days had to do with Peter, Fran, and Philippa breaking the two-film plan they had into a three-film plan and obviously doing pre-production and casting. So in the early days, it was relatively straightforward stuff, just on a more monumental level than a typical movie.
That sounds like an incredible experience and actually incredible advice that you're giving. And I'm going to move into more around the advice giving, because you've found yourself back here in New Zealand, but actually now settled in the Wairarapa. How did this happen?
My wife is a New Zealander. She's a Wellington girl whom I met at the tail end of the Lord of the Rings experience. She came to Los Angeles with me, and we lived there for 20 years, and I made movies and television in Los Angeles, all over the place, really. Alaska, Vienna, Austria, Texas. And when it came time to buy a place here in New Zealand so that we could prepare for our return, she had lived in the Wairarapa in her 20s, and had always remembered it as an amazing place and someplace she wanted to return to. So really, she picked it, and I was just going along because I thought, if she loves it, I'm going to love it. And that's basically what happened. But then in the end of 2023, when we'd gone through COVID and labor unrest and contractions in the U.S. entertainment marketplace, it became apparent that there was no need to necessarily be in Los Angeles full time to do what I needed to do. And so my wife, Rachel, and I made the decision to move here full time. I have a producing partner named Jane Fleming who lives in Los Angeles. And so I set up here, and ironically, within very short order of making the decision to come here and move full time to Masterton, Disney, who we had made movies and television shows for previously, reached out and asked us if we wanted to make the fourth installment of their big Zombies kid musical franchise. These are musical franchises similar to High School Musical or The Descendants, and they wanted to make it in New Zealand, and somehow the stars had just aligned.
It happened for you again. Yes. Well, that is our gain. And on behalf of everyone in the Wairarapa, we welcome you. And it is so delightful to know that someone like you, so creative and experienced in film, is now in a position where you would actually like to pass those skills on. So we have an announcement to make about the WBS Wairarapa 50-hour film project. Mark, we are so lucky to have you as our head judge of a brand new film competition that is available for local youth up to the age of 25 to enter, and registrations are open now. And we have the next couple of weeks to accept registrations from teams who would like to make a film no longer than 7 minutes on a smartphone that has a link to the Wairarapa, and submit it for judging by you and a cool panel.
Yeah, it's really, really exciting.
It is so exciting. It's one of those things as part of the Wairarapa Film Festival that I had been wanting to do for the last 4 years. I've had Chris Whittet from an amazing charitable trust called Day One coming down to the Wairarapa from Auckland and going into schools and teaching everything that you need to know to make a short film. Through the course of the day, Chris will go into our local secondary schools and teach about storyboarding and teamwork and how to make an edit and where to cut and how to film and framing and actually making a film about something that you really care about, because that's a good place to start, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And what I'm really excited about is part of this journey with launching the film festival, there were things that we all asked for. I'm co-organized the film festival, this film project with Eve Buchanan from The Screening Room and with Warwick Del Monte. And it's just been a delight. But I had to say, can we have it that there is either a prominent person from the Wairarapa or a prominent landmark that's included into this film so that we can easily identify that the stories are coming from this region?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
It's terrific.
We also have on the judging team a newly arrived filmmaker and film scholar, and her name is Maria Fernandez-Meno. And she has just started working at Victoria University, and a lot of our Wairarapa-based film enthusiasts and film, you know, aspiring filmmakers end up studying at Victoria University in the film program and also at Massey University. So it's delightful to keep that connection happening.
Yeah.
And she's just landed from Ecuador, is just This is her first community engagement, so it's exciting for her. And we also have Celia Jaspers, who is an award-winning filmmaker, director, producer, editor. She does the whole thing, and she lives right here in the Wairarapa and is excited about the opportunity to mentor alongside you as well. As a panel of judges, you'll have 2 weeks to watch a series of films that are entered. And I'm just wondering if you've got any tips that you'd like to give to our listeners around what you as a judge will be looking for when you're watching those films.
I mean, really, the most important thing in any filmmaking endeavor is the storytelling. And making sure that the storytelling reflects a voice. Really, and voice by voice, I sort of mean areas of enthusiasm. I mean, it's not a coincidence that Peter Jackson's favorite film as a young person was King Kong, the original King Kong.
Right.
And when you know that, and then you sort of look forward in time to all the things he's done, and the sort of the emotional sweep, the physical scale, I mean, even Bad Taste, which took 4 years to make on weekends on 16 millimeter film, took so long to make that one character actually got married, left the film, and then the marriage didn't last the length of the movie. He had to come back. That's how long it took to make it. But there was something inherent in a bold visual approach and genre and scale. So whatever one's voice is in whatever genre, I think that's really the most important thing.
To be authentic.
Yeah.
Yeah. To have your own way and style of telling a story visually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's wonderful advice. Mark, thank you so much for joining me in the studio today. I'm so looking forward to working with you on this project. We are so excited, aren't we? And we just can't wait to see the films that our talented, creative storytellers in this region have to share with us.
Absolutely. Really grateful to be participating. Hope everyone comes out and joins.
Fantastic.